Attacks using COVID-19 themes are continuing to be dropped. Government location surveillance is becoming the norm, and Windows alerts of a zero day. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for March 24, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. This is the second episode from my new home in Colorado, so it may go through some growing pains as I fix the audio or the lighting along the way, so please bear with me in this process. It has been a crazy month for all, but I am trying my best to stay on schedule with y'all. So with that said, on to the news. As promised last week, I am continuing to keep an eye on what kind of attacks are being issued, capitalizing on the fear of COVID-19. These types of attacks have continued to ramp up in speed, so I will do whatever I can to keep you updated. This week, a surge of new websites, phishing attacks, and scams have surfaced using similar techniques, getting people to install or click or download a thing by taking advantage of our fears or anxieties. This week's emails have surfaced claiming to be from the World Health Organization leader named Dr. Ghebreyesus. And apologies if I completely butchered their name, I tried my best. The email was originally spotted by IBM's X-Force security researchers, who saw that it included a variant of the Hawkeye malware, which includes a keylogger and credential stealing malware. Hawkeye can spread through malicious files and can allow for an attacker to steal credentials typed into a computer by capturing keystrokes, while the malware also captures screenshots and sends all of this stolen data to the attacker through email. The scammy emails are not great, with spelling errors running amok and obvious grammatical mistakes, but a fearful user could still click and open the .exe attachment called coronavirusdisease.exe. Or coronavirusdiseasecure.exe. It's an executable. This includes the Hawkeye malware, hidden by layers and layers of code. Protecting yourself from Hawkeye malware is as simple as remaining skeptical of emotionally triggering emails and not opening downloadable attachments from strangers and sometimes people that you know as well. Websites continue to be made as well as these. Criminals are using the pandemic to lure unsuspecting individuals into clicking on their websites, which are home to phishing attacks, malware-ridden files, fraudulent payloads, and a lot more. Several reports say that these websites are being generated 100-fold per day with no end in sight. One researcher, who goes by the name Dusty Fresh, reported that 3,600 domains were created using COVID-19 as a lure between March 14th through 18th. Now, they were just scanning for sites created with the word coronavirus, but if including the words pandemic, virus, vaccine, or COVID, those numbers shot up to many, many more. RiskIQ found 13,500 domains to be created in one day. And after that, 17,000 were created the next day right after. Now, for what it is worth, some are legit, but the countless many are scams. The government won't be able to keep up, but they did take down one website, claiming to be selling coronavirus vaccines. The site would charge buyers $4.95 to ship a medical kit from the World Health Organization. Not true. But it actually stole credit card information and was used to make fraudulent purchases and identity theft. Now, to be very, very, very clear, as of time of recording, there is no vaccine and there is no antiviral medicine to prevent COVID-19 or treat the virus. In order to prosecute these scammers, Attorney General William Barr sent a memo to U.S. attorneys telling them these scams should not be tolerated, encouraging the attorneys to enforce and prosecute criminal conduct in a very fast fashion. Now, all is not negative, though. According to Bleeping Computer, two hacker groups have said that they will not target health and medical organizations during the pandemic. These include the groups behind the Maze ransomware and the Doppelpaymer ransomware. Now, Doppelpaymer stated that they don't normally target those organizations anyway, and they will continue this approach, saying if they accidentally target one, they will decrypt it for free. Yay! They will also not freely decrypt big pharma orgs, though, since pharma also preys on these kind of issues. Maze operators stated that they have stopped activity on any health organizations. Now, security companies like MSSoft and Coveware have announced that they will offer ransomware services for free for decryption organization, while ad hoc groups of hackers, white hat hackers, have vowed to volunteer to work as malware hunters during these threats, and groups like these are actively looking for volunteers to help. Now, since I run in a lot of these kind of circles, I will be doing my part by sharing any news regarding these groups that are looking for volunteers via my Twitter, which is at Snubs, spelled S-N-U-B-S. The use of tech surveillance has been increasing due to the COVID-19 pandemic across the globe. Several governments have taken to tracking location data via mobile carriers to check if patients who should be isolated are staying isolated, as well as tracking how well their stay-at-home or quarantine orders are holding up. Carriers in Italy, Germany, and Austria within the European Union are continuously sharing data with health authorities, though this data is anonymized and aggregated to comply with GDPR. According to law enforcement in Italy, movement is down by 60% in one coronavirus hotbed. Now, Israel has also authorized location tracking for patients who have tested positive and should be under quarantine during the hopefully limited time of this pandemic. But these are not the only countries using cell phone location data, with Iran using an app called AC19 to China's tracking and Taiwan's electronic fencing of their quarantined people. Now, while South Korea has been lauded for their strict efforts to beat outbreaks, they also use location data to allow the public to check in if they have been in contact with someone who has the coronavirus. Chinese state surveillance includes facial recognition that can detect identities with up to 95% accuracy, even if they are wearing a mask. The company behind this technology, which is called Hongwang, says they have received high demand for masked facial recognition with a high success rate, including at police stations, railways, and office towers, plus hospitals as well. Poland is taking a different approach. In order to ensure people are quarantining themselves correctly, they use something called the Home Quarantine app to make people register a selfie, then periodically send new selfies through the app or face a police report. And each of those selfies has location information in place. If they do not download and use the app, they may receive unexpected visits from police. Now, of course, users can turn off location tracking via their phone settings, but some countries do make this kind of surveillance a requirement, pandemic or not. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. I have new Hush Puppy perk level patrons who are awesome for sending in their fur baby photos. I love the new pictures. They're amazing. I love them so much. Keep them coming. And if you want to support Threatwire, but you don't want to be a Patreon supporter, check out snubsy.com/shop to get t-shirts, stickers, and even my own digital photography, all of which supports my shows. And I know I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. With everything happening, this has been a very, very stressful month. It's been very anxiety inducing, not just because of the virus, but also because I moved to a new state. So I won't get into all the drama here. You can check my Twitter for that, because Threatwire is not the place for that. But I do want to say thank you so, so much to everyone who has continually supported the shows. It's extremely important. I really want to keep on bringing this information to you. Please stay safe. Don't panic buy, because some people really do need to stock up their pantries because they might have just moved. And take care of the folks in your life that really need it right now. We can get through this together, and I'm gonna keep on saying that, and I will continue to keep bringing you security content every single week. So make sure to keep on checking in, make sure to subscribe to this channel, and thank you so much again, like seriously. It's extremely important to me, and I appreciate each and every one of you. A zero day has been found in the Adobe Type Manager library, which ships with Microsoft Windows OSs and is actively being exploited in the wild. Microsoft announced and issued a security alert regarding this attack on the 23rd, saying that it could affect Windows machines dating all the way back to Windows 7, which is at end of support. The library is found at atmfd.dll, if you feel like searching that, and is used to render PostScript Type 1 fonts in the Windows operating system. This tool is also built into macOS, but it appears to only affect Windows machines. The exploit works due to the way Adobe Type Manager library improperly handles vector outline fonts, which are special types of fonts that contain instructions that can allow for curves or for scalable lines. Now, two remote code execution vulnerabilities were found within that library that can allow an attacker to run code on a user's machine. Now, if an attacker is using this exploit, they could trick a user into opening a document or phishing them via email in order to gain access to the computer. Currently, a patch is not available, but Microsoft is hoping to release one on April 14th, which is Patch Tuesday. Users can mitigate the techniques used by attackers by disabling preview panes or the detail panes in Windows Explorer, disabling the web client service, and renaming atmfd.dll. The security alert page shows instructions for mitigation techniques, and it is linked below. Now, before I leave, I want to say thank you so very much to William and James who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you to both of you. You are totally awesome. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you on the internet, which, again, seems completely socially acceptable for the first time in my life. Stay safe. I'll see you next time.